2021, we traveled for the first time to Puerto Rico, working outside of San Juan to do disaster relief, to help rebuild houses. And while we were there, the project manager was Bob Wallingford. And he was just a really great guy. Enjoyed getting to meet him. And his wife was on site with him. And she was really cool. And we just fell in love with Bob and Melissa. We said we'd get back to our house and like, man, we just really like them Wallingfords. They're just really cool. We like us and Bob and Melissa Wallingford. They're just really awesome people that had given their lives to go down and help with disaster relief. But while we were there in 2021, he told us of a vision that he had to have a children and youth camp there on the island. There was not a camp for children and youth on Puerto Rico. And so this was their vision, this was their prayer, that God would somehow use them to help make that happen. And over the next couple of years, that vision and that dream became a reality. And they were able to purchase land on Vieques, which is a small island just east of Puerto Rico. And so for the last 2 years, we have gone down there to help them work on this camp. And so we have the honor and the privilege to have Bob and Melissa with us this morning. It's so good to have you. And Bob's going to come and share his story. I told him he had about 30 minutes. We're running a little late. So you take all the time that you need. It's worth it to hear it. We can go a little bit late today. But thank you, Bob, for coming and sharing your story.
Thank you, Pastor. And thank you, church. Thank you for having us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sharing your mission team and enabling them to come and be a part of the ministry in Puerto Rico. And thank you, Jake and Jessica, for opening your home to us last night for dinner and sharing the time there at your house with your family and Pastor Wayne was really a blessing, as it always is. And just thank you for all of that. I notice as Elijah came up, and many pastors these days, they carry their tablets up here, and you know, they'll scroll and they'll swipe. When I swipe, it will be a little differently. So as a pastor led to, well, first of all, I want to share a disclaimer. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I didn't go to a seminary or study at a Bible college. My wife and I are folks just like you. And actually, the first time someone called me a missionary, I looked at them strange. Why would you call me that? We didn't come to the mission field by the traditional where we were led at an early age. We were just like you. We had careers. We raised our family. We accepted Christ actually as adults, and we got involved in our local church. Baptist Church in Gower, Missouri, and we became involved, but full-time ministry was not on our radar screen. But we did the best that we could to be faithful to what the Scripture says and be obedient. And in 2017, I went to Puerto Rico on a mission trip through organization Send Relief, which is part of the North American Mission Board, to help out after Hurricane Maria. I actually made two trips down there in the fall of 2017. And after that second trip, God got a hold of my heart and made it very clear to me that Puerto Rico was the place that he had for me. And so I left my career aside. And we eventually, Melissa joined me as well. And I went back to Puerto Rico once again with Send Relief and to serve the Lord and the people in Puerto Rico. I didn't know what that would look like, but I said yes to God and trusted Him and he had all the details worked out. In fact, after a couple weeks, third trip I made to Puerto Rico, which had been in spring of 2018 now, I had the opportunity to become the director of all of the recovery work in Puerto Rico for the North American Mission for Sin Relief as a contractor to the North American Mission Board. So God provided all of the means for me to do the ministry he was leading me to because I said yes to him. And during that time with Sin Relief, we were blessed to be able to meet pastors and churches all over the island of Puerto Rico, because our mission was to help the churches, predominantly Southern Baptist churches of Puerto Rico, and their mission to serve their communities. And so we met pastors, and I truly believe that even today, even the vision of the camp, our ministry isn't as much the individual people in Puerto Rico, but it's the pastors in the churches of Puerto Rico as they're building those relationships with the people, particularly with the children in their communities. We want to enable and support and provide the tools for them to use in their ministries. They're the ones that are building those relationships. And one of those churches that we met during that time with Send Relief was a small Baptist church in Vieques, Puerto Rico. Vieques is a separate island, as you've probably learned now from your mission teams, about 7 miles off the east coast of the main island of Puerto Rico. It's about 5 miles wide, 20 miles long, and it's a very interesting little community, but it's a destination not only for tourists, but also for Puerto Ricans. As we would go around the rest of the island of Puerto Rico and tell about our experiences going and working with Iglesia Bautista Sarón in Vieques, kept hearing people say, "Oh, I've always wanted to go to Vieques. I've never been, or I haven't been to Vieques since I was a kid. I would like to go back someday." And that's where the vision really started, was I thought, what a great opportunity it would be for a pastor of a church in Puerto Rico, as he's building relationship with those kids, to offer them the opportunity to go to camp in Vieques. And I reflected on the times that our children had when they would go to church camp every summer from our church in Missouri. Not even so much our kids, but the friends that they would invite to go along with them, who weren't churched, but their parents would let them go because it's a safe thing to do and to entertain them for a week during the summer. And they went to play games and go to the water park and do all that fun stuff that the kids do at camp, but they learned about Jesus there. And that's what I wanted to provide for the pastors of those churches in Puerto Rico. The problem is, I couldn't see how it was going to happen. We are, as I said, I left our career, my career behind. I didn't intend to retire when I did, but I was eligible to draw my retirement. So that's what Melissa and I live on. We don't have a mission board or a sending church that supports us as missionaries. We live on our retirement. I say we're not retired, we're repurposed. Truly, we work harder now than we did when we had jobs. But we wanted to help the churches there as they're ministering to their children. But I couldn't see how it would happen because we just couldn't afford a mortgage on my retirement. And so, but one morning, all I could see was the obstacles. But one morning in my regular devotion time, I was reading in the book of Mark, chapter 11, a story where Jesus and his disciples, and they had commented about the fig tree that had withered. And he told them, "If you believe, do not doubt, you can tell this mountain move from here to there, and it'll move. There's a similar story in Matthew 17, where Jesus says, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, jump into the sea, it will move. And that convicted me that morning. Do I not have faith as big as a mustard seed? If I am who I say I am as a missionary and as a Christian, I needed to have that kind of faith. And so that morning, I set my objective, my goals, that we were going to develop a Christian camp in Puerto Rico and trust that God would move the obstacles. And I think that's something that all of us as Christians struggle with at times. We don't doubt that God can move the mountain, but will he move it for me? And that morning I decided to trust that God would move the mountain, and we were going to move forward. And we have seen time after time how God has moved little foothill after foothill. We're still a mountain out there, but we're heading for it, and we're either going to trust that God will move it, or we're going to climb it. And just like Moses or Elijah, when you climb the mountain, you experience God in a powerful way. And that is what we have to look forward to. But we have seen how God has worked. In fact, we have seen how God has been working on that particular property for many years through the previous owner. The one of the stories, and I don't have enough time to share all of it, but about a phone call I received, somebody wanted to buy property that we owned in Missouri, and it's really a compelling story, a part of it, and then a testimony to another couple's faith in God that bought the farm for us. And with that, we were able to buy the land in Vieques. And so when we were looking for land, I was determined not to find the property that we would choose, but the property that God would choose. And so, and that's another thing that I think all of us as Christians will struggle with, is we want God to help us make these decisions, but when we finally make them, how do we know that that's really God leading us that way? So what I did in this case is I was determined that whoever that I was talking to about land for the camp, I had to share the purpose, the vision, what we were going to use that property for. And when I found the person who was more interested in the purpose then the price tag, that would be the one. And we looked at a number of different properties, both in Vieques and also at one time I even kind of doubted, well, maybe God really didn't mean Vieques specifically, maybe just Puerto Rico. And so we looked at properties even on the main island, but nothing ever seemed to fit. And but there was this one property, and it had been for sale because it had a for sale sign a few years earlier, and I'd looked on the real estate company's website, so I knew a little bit about it and what they were asking as separate and two separate tracts. And but that was long before we even had had the idea of how we could acquire it. And my pastor friends told me. We were talking one day, and he told me he knew the daughter of the owner of that land. And he shared her phone number. And so I contacted her, and I asked her, you know, about the property. And she wasn't there, but she gave me permission to drive around. And I was driving around the property and talking to her on the phone. She's telling me about all of these wonderful things that her and her father had done working on this property. And that her father was in the United States and was unable to travel. And so that was about all that we talked about at the time. And he, another time we would go back to Vieques and I would send her a message, hey, I'm in Vieques, I'd like to talk to you about that property. And, no, I can't meet you this time, maybe another time. That happened two or three times, and then she just quit responding altogether. And I had no contact with her for 9 months. And then one day, I got another phone call, and it happened to be her father. And he introduced himself, and he says, I understand you're looking for land in Vieques. And she had actually lost my number and went to yet a different church and asked the pastor how to get in touch with those missionaries who were looking for land in Vieques. And so her father called me, and we had a conversation on the phone. He says, I want to come to Vieques and meet with you and talk to you about that property. So he's living actually about an hour from here with another daughter. And so we arranged a time. He flew down with her to Puerto Rico. And we actually met on the ferry ride over from the main island that morning. And we just had this great conversation, getting to know one another on the ferry. And he had told me that he had bought that property about 20 years earlier. And he had the idea he wanted to develop it into a place where people build little cabins where people could come and rent a cabin and get a little golf cart to go down the paths and to disconnect with nature or disconnect from the world and reconnect with nature and God. But then he was diagnosed with cancer and was told he was going to die. Alvaro Flores humbled himself to the Lord, and he reflects on the story of King Hezekiah, who was told by the prophet that he was going to die, but he humbled himself and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave him 15 more years of life. Alvaro Flores believes God has given him 15 more years to live, he's cancer-free, and that he determined to spend more time with his family, and that project in Puerto Rico had become an idol to him, and he needed to let it go. And so he's telling me all this while we're on the ferry that morning. And then he said, now, Bob, he says, you know, land in Vieques is worth a lot of money. Okay, here we go. But he said, you just tell me where you're at, and I'll surprise you. And that's where the conversation ended at that time. We landed over in Vieques, and we arranged a time where we met on the property, and he gave me a tour. We walked around the property, and as he shared with such enthusiasm of the vision that he had for that property and the plans that he had for it, and me having in mind what we would want to do with the Christian camp, it felt like a hand fitting into a glove. And we all but shook hands that day underneath a big shade tree there that that land would be ours, develop the Christian camp, and never talked about the price. We went to lunch together that day, and after we had lunch, money has to be part of the conversation at some time. And I told him, now Al, this is where we're at. I sold some property in Missouri, and I set aside this amount of money. And I said, that's not all that we have, but we're going to have to buy a house for us to live in too. And he said, okay. He said, I'll finance it for you at 7 years at zero interest. That was his surprise for us, and which, as it turns out, we talked through, we didn't need that loan. We had the cash. But I knew when I told him that amount of money, it was more than $150,000 less than what I had learned the price through the real estate company website about 2 years earlier. There was no negotiation, no counteroffers. It was the purpose of the property that was important to him, not the price. I believe that that God was working through Alvaro Flores on that property 20 years, long before we ever came to Puerto Rico. And that day was such a special experience, feeling the Holy Spirit move among us, not just Al and I, but Melissa and his two daughters that were with him, that I asked him that day if he would consider being on our board of directors. So Alvaro Flores is still a part of the project today because he's a member of our board of directors. I apparently do a lot of things backwards, because a lot of people, when they have an idea for a ministry or a project like this, the first thing they do is start a nonprofit and do fundraising. We purchased the land first. That's our commitment to the project. And then we started to set up the nonprofit. And so Camp Victoria, Inc. was recognized, formally chartered as a nonprofit corporation of Puerto Rico on May 2nd of 2023. We're just a little over 2 years old. And we've been working through, as a board, developing ourselves, establishing ourselves. We are now a 501c3, and we are just trusting and marveling at how God is moving through people and churches to come alongside, be a part of the vision and the future of the Camp Victoria for the churches in Puerto Rico. So I have a little bit of I know you've seen some photos, and I have a little video, a walking tour, and here's the second disclaimer. There are a few things I'm good at, but videos is not one of them. And if you have problems with motion sickness, you might want to close your eyes, and maybe for the rest of you too, I'll let you decide. But this is a little walking tour that I did of Camp Victoria. This is a view from the front at night. I'm really excited about how it looks at night. This is our front yard, and that your mission team helped with that fence. I would encourage you to put them through some physical training before they come back to work on fence again. But the lights that you saw on that fence, Micah installed the solar lights. Your mission team poured the concrete there for that cattle crossing. This will be the main entrance to the camp. And that was all out in the sun when we were mixing and pouring that concrete that day. It was hot. This is the plans that we have for a main entrance. There's a rendering from the architect. There's the view. Micah's lights there at night. And as we come through here, yeah, there's another little stretch of the fence we still have left to build. I promise that'll be done before you all come back. And yeah, coming through the gate here, there's a tent, a little shelter that we took down out of precaution because of the hurricane that passed by a few weeks ago. We have Gaga Ball, which is a very popular game with kids at camps. You see across there at Patience, that tree right there is a very prominent tree at the camp, and we built a garden underneath it. This is all done with mission teams. And the pavers, it was actually trying to keep from wasting concrete when we were doing work on the old barn building. I didn't want to waste concrete that we had mixed up, so I made up forms for these pavers, and we found out how much the volunteers from mission teams love decorating in the concrete. So we'll do those with almost every mission team, whether we're doing concrete or not. We make the benches ourselves, and even the edging for the garden. We made forms, and we cast our own edging blocks there at the camp as well. That looks real nice, and we have plans for a few more of those little gardens around the camp. And the fire pit. We have another fire pit in the center of the camp that burns wood, but we wanted to have one closer to the front because some of the ladies from the local churches have a hard time walking all the way to the back of the camp. So we built this one, and so we wouldn't have smoke be a problem for the neighbors. We use propane. And we've been trying to, this year, once a month, have campfire worship, something we've started inviting locals, people from the local churches. And it has been a great success. We've had as many as 50 people to come to our campfire worship, both English-speaking and Spanish-speaking together, and that doesn't happen in Vieques. Very few places in Puerto Rico that the English-speaking community and Spanish-speaking come together, but we have that at our campfire. Carpet ball is a very popular game. We built a table, and then somebody says, you really ought to have a roof over. Okay, well, yeah, you're right. So we built a roof. And then it was, well, what are you going to do when a storm comes by? So we put the cables. That's actually tied down to concrete in the ground. And so we didn't have tripping hazard. We put planters and put the cables down through planters, so it actually looked like we were thinking we did it. And the nylon straps you'll see on there, that's just because of the tropical storm that was going by, just as a precaution to help keep the tin from flying off. And we, as it turns out, we had almost no wind at all. We had just a little bit of rain. But it is hurricane season, and everybody in Puerto Rico is watching the weather time of year. This is a clearing that we have. And in our very near future, we'd like to add a large event tent in that space so we'd have for events that we have. I did have video or audio to this, but as I was reviewing it, I just didn't like it, so you have to listen to me narrate it. This area we call the tunnel. It's just Samuel has done a lot of the tree trimming in various places. This area, the trees arch over to where the grass doesn't get enough sunlight for the grass to grow. And we're trying to work other areas through the camp to do that. Have different trails. We have a trail. We need to put a marker up that we call the Flint Hill Trail, because your mission team last year cut that trail, not this one, but another one just like it, through the bush. And then from the tunnel looking back there, that pathway continues, and we have a large area, camping area, where we've had groups come and set up tents and camp. We made our own bridge over the stream. All of this area along the stream was grown up. It was a thicket. That's a very good southern word, by the way, thicket. And all this was cleared, and we have a waterfall, and we have a little bit more rain. We had last year we had 15 mission teams. This year a few less, but the interest and continues to grow. And as we make progress, we've had right at 400 people visit the camp just this year alone. So it's encouraging to see how the interest in the camp is growing, both from groups from the United States, but also from the churches there in Puerto Rico. The lake, we have had enough rain that the green scum is kind of cleared off of it. But the white egrets come and roost in all those trees at night. This is another open area, and I'm pointing up there to another gate that we use, our service entrance, we call it. It's a side gate. And there's a tamarind tree. And we have six different classes of mangoes on the camp. And I can just imagine. We've been gone almost 3 weeks, but it looks like underneath that tree with all the mangoes. Lissa gives away mangoes to people whenever she can. And this is the barn. It was an old dilapidated barn used for raising pigs years ago. And the roof was in very bad condition. We tore it off. We rebuilt concrete columns, the concrete beams over the top. We formed and poured those ourselves and put a new steel roof over it. The door there and the side, we put that on. Actually, Micah and both Samuels and Elijah did some welding as we were, not the gate, but the security panels last year. This is the gathering place where we have lunch with the mission teams. We're building bathrooms. Your team has done a lot of work on the bathroom. Yeah, it's not all work at the camp. And the in that barn, photos didn't come out very good, but your mission team has done a lot of work on bathrooms and a shower inside one into that barn, so we'll have those available for our guests. And so that's I'm glad that we could show you the. I know you've heard a lot from your group about Camp Victoria, but now you get a chance to take a little bit of a tour, and hopefully someday more of you will come down and see it. I'd like to share a little something that, a little off the subject here, but it's something that I occurred to me here as I was going through one of my devotion times a while back, kind of diving in on the whole concept of love your neighbor as yourself. It came up in conversation several times in Jesus' ministry. And even in Matthew 22, he said it was the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. But I was just thinking one day, trying to dig in on that concept of how to apply that in the 21st century, in our lives today. And it can be challenging, because let's face it, we all know people just hard to love. But Jesus calls us to do it. So how do we do that? So I was kind of digging in on that, love my neighbor as myself. So I break that down. How do I love myself? How should I love myself? Now, granted, there are many worldly people out there that loving themselves is not a problem. And all of us struggle with that, at least to some extent. But as Christians, we're called to examine ourselves, to deny ourselves, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. To take up our cross and daily. And while this is certainly true, I think many of us become overly critical and judgmental of ourselves, and that reflects in the way we look at other people. And I think that that for many of us, we take that farther than Jesus intended. Because, let's face it, He's already done the hard work. And all we need to do is love as He loved. And that includes ourselves. So something that I set out to do, and I think it's a good exercise, is to, on a regular basis, remind myself just who I really am in God's eyes. And so that's an every morning thing. Who I really am a child of God. God loved me so much that he gave me life and expects nothing in return. There's nothing I could give him that he doesn't have anyway. All he wants is for me to acknowledge him as my creator. And so that's easy. That's an easy one. I will gladly thank God for who he is and what he's done. And Jesus loves me so much, he faced public humiliation, brutal torture, a horrible death, and paid the penalty for in every wrong I will ever commit. And if that wasn't enough, he's gone ahead and prepared a room for me in our Father's mansion in heaven. And it's waiting for me right now. The only reason I'm still here is because he has a purpose for me. When my purpose is done, he's going to take me up there to be with him. And I will judge angels someday. And you can fact check that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so, because he's done this, I will trust him. And I'm going to forgive and forget about tomorrow, not worry about tomorrow, and live today in the according to the example he set for me in the best way I know. And if I love myself enough, if we love ourselves enough to start our day every way, every day that way, and hold on to it as long as we can, gradually, it'll get easier, and we'll be able to hold on to it longer. And eventually, we'll get to the point where we're living that all day long. And when we do, when we get to that point, I think we'll find loving our neighbor pretty easy. That's my encouragement for you today. You children of God, love yourselves the way Jesus does, and let that reflect in the way that you love your neighbor. Thank you for having me, church. God bless you.
For our finance team to maybe for this upcoming year to think about, pray about, you think about and pray about, maybe we include Camp Victoria in our budget to support on a yearly basis.
Yes.
And so we're not only going and serving, but we are financially supporting as well, along with our prayers. We've been praying for them for a while. But thank you, Bob and Melissa, for coming, sharing the Camp Victoria story with us. Now you know we ain't going down there. We're telling you the truth. We are going down there and working. All right.
I saw the disc golf. That's what I'm
right,
telling.
That's
right. I don't know about
so,
you.
We want you to deal with God as he's been speaking to you through this morning. Let's sing this song of invitation, a challenge to go and share, send the light.
There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
All right, I'm going to close us in prayer. I'm going to ask a few people around, if you would, just to move across and place your hands on Bob and Melissa, and we're going to pray for their ministry as it moves forward at Camp Victoria and the impact that they will have on the kids and teenagers and the churches and pastors in Puerto Rico. Will a couple people gather around them? And then I'll close us in prayer. Thank you for being here today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Bob and Melissa. Lord, we thank you for their obedience to your call to go and uproot their lives and go to Puerto Rico and help with disaster relief, putting on roofs, rebuilding houses, pouring into pastors and churches. And Lord, that you called them even further. Lord, they sold their own farm property to put down to buy this property in Vieques. And Lord, you are already making a difference. Spanish speakers, English speakers coming for campfires and worshiping together and fellowshipping together and working together. You're doing something that is not happening already. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that you will provide the funds to build housing, to build a cafeteria, to build a worship center. And Lord, we pray that the work that they have begun, that they probably won't even see the end to, will continue to impact generations in Puerto Rico for generations and generations and generations to come. That's why we've been going these last 2 years. That's why we want to invest. So I pray you bless this couple, bless their work, bless Camp Victoria, and the gospel kingdom being grown in Puerto Rico and Vieques. Lord, may we be faithful to be obedient where you've called us, right here where we are. Help us to be the light here where you've placed us. Lord, we thank you for worship today. We go out of this place to be the missionaries that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.